Living Hope Assembly of God.
Well, good morning again. Glad to see all of you guys here this morning, and we are excited this morning to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that God has called me to do what I'm doing today because I love it so much. I love it for the fact that I get a chance to speak on God's behalf and be his spokesman to God's people. And no matter where I go, I've made up in my mind, I'm going to share the good news of our Lord. I believe that this is what truly saves and delivers and set people free from themselves and from the bondage of sin. And I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what sustains us and keeps us in the best times as well as the worst times in life. I don't know about you, I am thankful for the gospel this morning. I am thankful for salvation. I am thankful for the person who poured their time and effort into someone like me in giving me the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Christ is the gospel, the hope of mankind. Do you hear me this morning? It's not the law. It's not our own works, but it's Christ. If you're going to be seeking anything, we need to be seeking Christ. And for the next 30 minutes this morning, I want to talk to you this morning about Ignite. Several months ago, God gave me that theme. I felt like God gave me that theme because I felt like this should be the theme of our church this year, Ignite. And I believe that God is wanting to ignite each and every one of us. I thought it was ironic as I was listening to the inauguration the other day, and while I was on a treadmill and I was listening, and Samuel Rodriguez got up and began to read scripture. And this is what he read out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. He said, "We are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Are we that light? I believe that for every believer that's in love with Jesus Christ, if you cut us open right now, the light of Jesus will shine through. I believe that those of us who are in love with Jesus, we're like Jeremiah, that when he said he wanted to quit, he said he couldn't because it was like fire shut up in his bones. Listen, we need the power of God to ignite our lives. Listen, we don't have time to sit passively by. Once upon a time, the church was like a well-oiled machine. The church could run itself, but we are in a day and time now where very few people know and understand scripture, nor do they know the God of the Bible, because the lapse of time and our apathy of really conveying the gospel the way that it should be conveyed. And I want to point something out. I was listening to another pastor this past couple days, and one thing he pointed out, he said, yeah, people want Jesus. People want Jesus. They want love, and they want Jesus, and they want love, but they don't want the Word of God. Do you hear me? We are in a generation now where people want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want all of those things, but they don't want the Bible. They don't want the truth of God's Word. I promise you today, the truth of God's Word is what will set us free. It will ignite us and place us on the journey that we should be on, the path that we should be on. But people don't want that. We don't want that. We want Jesus. We want Jesus. We want the lovable Jesus, the one that just all smiles and, ooh, I love you. But we don't want the God of the Bible. And that's unfortunate, because there's more to him than meets the eye. And I promise you that the only way you're going to get to know him is not by coming to church on Sunday. I promise you, you're not going to get to know him just by coming to church on Wednesday night. You're going to get to know the Savior of the Bible, the one that is within the Holy Scripture. You're going to get to know him by spending intimate time with him in the prayer chamber of your home. You're going to get to know him when you sacrifice the things that are important to you and pick up the thing that is important to him. Ignite. 2 days ago, we witnessed the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 45th president of the United States. How many of you had a chance to watch that? I saw people watching it, and I saw people act like they didn't care. I was very interested in what was going to be said, and there was thousands of people that came out around the world to hear this monumental moment in history and came to witness this monumental moment in history, seeing, and one of the things that really just got me was seeing our military and the strength thereof and all of the dignitaries and all of the fellow Americans gathered together in one place. It signified strength and it signified unity. And I thought it was so amazing to see the church at the forefront of this inauguration. I found that fascinating. I was like, go God. Yes, go God. Millions through television and media outlets waited patiently and with eager expectation as the newly elect president gave his speech. I don't know about you. I knew that he had an impressive speech. I knew he was going to say a whole lot of great things. But really what intrigued me the most, and I watched eagerly with expectation to see what he was going to do when it came to the Word of God. And when they put the Word of God out there and he laid his hand on it, the words that came out of his mouth meant the world to me. And this is what he said. So help me God. See that right there, that right there, that separates everything. He didn't say, so help me Allah. He didn't say, so help me Confucius. He didn't say, so help me Donald J. Trump. He said, so help me God. And I want to let you know this morning that regardless if he meant it or if he did not mean it, the God of heaven is going to hold him accountable. Do you hear me? And the same God that's going to hold him accountable is the same God that is holding you and I accountable this morning. And it's our prayer as the church that we lift, that he does the right thing, that he restrains from doing what is evil, that he really leads the American people and our country in the right direction, that he continues to build a structure for the church so that we can be and do what God has called us to be as the church. The next 4 years are going to be crucial. Not only does Donald Trump has his work cut out for him, but we also have our work cut out for us. For me, when we're talking about the inauguration, for me, the inauguration for my life happened August 8th, 2001, where I stood in front of hundreds of people and raised my hand and professed and made the announcement that I was going to follow Jesus Christ with all of my life and with all of my heart, that I was going to live for him unconditionally. And every one of us in this house today, we have had an inauguration moment in our lives where we stood before the God of heaven and we said, Lord, for you I live and for you I am willing to die. Do you hear me this morning? And the God of heaven is also holding each and every one of us accountable, just like he is holding the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States accountable, because when they put their hands on that sacred book, that holy book, they said, God, I am doing this in your name, and I promise you, God would not allow us to give him a bad representation. In order to be ignited, we must understand that we are like candle wicks and he is the flame. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire And it is his desire to light our lives with his presence. Did you grab a hold of that? It is his desire to light our lives with his presence. In Acts 2 and 3, scripture tells us, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. God desires to light your life, church. He desires to set you on fire for his glory. I promise you that God gets no use out of us sitting still. God gets no use out of us just being apathetic. God gets no use out of us when we're not meditating on him. The word of God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. I like how Brian Jarrett said it. We are not trying to create nor develop a church because of some fad that is going on out here around us, but we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to build the church on his word. We want to build the church on the revelation that he is God, and that he is God alone, that he is the light of the world. And if we open our hearts to him, the light of the world will come inside of us and shine brighter than any lights on this planet. Do you want that, church? I don't know about you, but I want him to shine through me. I think about the analogy of the wick and the flame. I instantly am reminded of a time growing up and watching my mom light the candles after the electricity had gone out because of a storm. How many of us can remember the good old days growing up, and when the electricity went out, my mom, she would grab those old candles, those big candles, and she would light those things, and it would illuminate the room where us little scared kids were. I don't know about you, but I was scared of the dark. I hated the dark. And I couldn't wait for my mom to light the candle. And the first thing I would say before she light the candle, when the lights would go out, she would warn us. She would say, kids, listen, the lights are about to go out. Don't anybody scream. The moment the lights went out, Charles screamed. And the first word I said was, Mama, where are you? Oftentimes when the light goes out spiritually, the believer, listen, I want to tell you something right now. All of us are subject to error. All of us fall into sin every now and then. But I promise you, when we turn the lights out ourselves, it's a good thing to say, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? Just like any kid, we're naturally afraid of the dark. And just like every kid, when my mom would light those candles, I would become curious about the fire. One thing that I notice also about the candle is the fact that it was useless the majority of the time. Did you hear that? The candle is useless the majority of the time. Most of the time, those candles would sit in some obscure place until the proper time to be used. It is not until the wick of the candle touches the flame that takes it from being inactive to active. I firmly believe that we are just like that candle. We are useless until Jesus touches the wick of our hearts and light our lives, giving us purpose and the ability to be who he has called us to be. But like most of us, after we're born again, the flame of the Spirit seems to dwindle and the light becomes dimmer and dimmer until we are just like a candle sitting on a shelf, waiting for an opportunity to be used. Did you hear that? We're like that candle. We allow ourselves to sit on the shelf and wait to be used. I have to let you know today, you know how I'm able to identify a real a leader or a person who desires to be used by God, they are not waiting on some title. They are not waiting on the green light. They're coming in saying, God, if you want to use me, I don't care if you want me to sweep the floors. I don't care if you want me to unlock the doors. I don't care if you want me to mow the yard. Listen, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Listen, it doesn't matter. I'm inside the house. I want to be in the house. I'm not in the world anymore, but I am of the kingdom of God. And if I'm sweeping the floors, so be it. If I'm taking out the trash, so be it. I am serving the King of Glory. Listen, that's what happens. A lot of us come to church. We make it about us. And we take our positions and we want to be noticed. We want to be seen for our positions. Listen, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And the real object is to make him known. There are those times that my mom had to scrape, dig, and cut wax away from the wick so that she could light the candle. At some point during the storm, my mom would take those candles and pour out the melted wax so that the wick could have room to breathe. I believe that God is trying to do this very thing for many of us here today. I believe that at our inauguration, the moment that we accepted him as Lord and Savior, I believe that he lit the wick of our hearts and set us on fire for his glory. But because of time and failure to cultivate that fire, some of us are spiritually dim right now, walking around in darkness, feeling around in darkness, trying to figure out where we are at the moment, trying to figure out what is our purpose in life. This morning, I want you to turn your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. To the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Tradition says that we should have a foundational scripture. The Bible says, and the Spirit says, be led by me. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. We see that this is the greatest inauguration in history. It is an inauguration of our Lord Jesus the Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, look, I am sending my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The whole region of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, saying, after me is coming one mightier than I, the straps of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Excuse me. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's gospel, he says, and with fire. Can somebody say, and with fire? Amen. Many scholars believe that the fire has at least two meanings. In one meaning, it represents a purifying type effect. In another meaning, it represents a fire type dealing with judgment. On either side of that, we're going to have to go through the fire in order to be what God has called us to be. In verse 9, he goes on to say in Mark chapter 1, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Coming up out of the water, he immediately saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Verse 14 goes on to say, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." When we look at the life of Jesus for 30 years, his purpose was hidden from the majority of society. It was not until then that his ministry became evident. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that it was on this historical day at the Jordan River that God's Son made his debut to the known world. On this day, not only were there many who came to be baptized by John, but there were many onlookers who curiously watched and listened to this great announcement about Jesus. On this day, on this glorious day, there in attendance were all three persons of the Trinity. We talked about earlier that when Donald Trump became president, we had all of the dignitaries and all of the important people from around the world within our government. They were assembled there. But today, on this day, when Christ Jesus, 2,000 years ago, a little bit more, came to this earth and was standing at the River Jordan, the Word of God stood at the River Jordan to be baptized by John. The same Word of God stood some many years before with the priest, the 120 priests that stood at the River Jordan, that flood stage, and they began to step out into that river by faith, and the water rolled back like a heap. I promise you, it was the Word of God that rolled that water back on that day. When Israel stood at the Red Sea and had to cross to get to the other side, I promise you, it was the Word of God that gave the command for that water to be parted so that they could walk through on dry ground. And I promise you, today it's the Word of God that's going to part the difficulties in your life, that's going to reveal the heart of God, that's going to allow you to cross to the other side in life. That is one reason the enemy of our soul really doesn't want us to pick up the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, because he doesn't want us to get to the other side. He wants us to stay where we're at. Three persons were there, the three persons of the Trinity. Jesus, the one true God in three distinct, interconnected, and unified persons, stood there on the bank of the Jordan River to be baptized by John. On this historical day, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who all played a key role in the ministry of Jesus. And they all came in visible form to the inauguration of our Lord. Do you hear me, church? That's the greatest moment in history. Was the day that Jesus stood at that river to be baptized by John, being a fulfillment of Scripture. On this historical day, I want you to write these three things down if you're taking notes. There was an announcement on that day, or a proclamation on that day, but we're going to go with announcement. There had to be an acceptance on that day. And there was a going on that day. An announcement, an acceptance, and a going on that day. An announcement is an act of making something known in public. John prophetically proclaimed that the ministry of Jesus would far exceed his. John's proclamation was one of humility as he stood in front of his own disciples proclaiming, "After me is one coming, one mightier than I." Can you imagine being John at this moment? I don't know how you would feel, but I would feel pretty bad if there was another minister here and I stood up and say, "Listen, he's much greater than I." You would be like, "Wait a minute, you're supposed to be the pastor." But John stood in humility, said, "There's one that's coming greater than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." In my opinion, John set the greatest example of humility when he acknowledged, I want you to hear this, when he acknowledged the worth and the giftedness of another. Hold on to that for a moment. Throughout the course of my ministry as a pastor, one of the main struggles I see in many churches is our inability to acknowledge the giftedness in another individual. Do you hear me? We have to be careful and we have to make sure that we see the giftedness in someone else and understand that we should move out of the way at times so that another could do something more effectively than we can. Here's what I mean. Let's just break it down because I know you're wondering where I'm going with that. Leaders begat leaders. Did you hear me? If we're not able to reproduce who we are, we're not an effective leader. Ignite. I want to go backwards for a moment and talk, because I got ahead of myself. As a church, we're getting ready to have a leadership meeting come Tuesday. One of the things I want to point out to us as a church, your main job is not to just do your ministry well, but our main job is to reproduce who we are. Do you hear me? Jesus had 12 that he poured his life into. We should be pouring our lives into at least one, teaching them and training them how to be and do what we do. Listen, sometimes the Holy Spirit was telling us to not necessarily move out the way, but make room for somebody else. And sometimes I like my space. I don't want anybody else in my space. I don't want anybody else doing what I do. Part of it's because I'm selfish. But I found out I've served under several pastors, and I've been in ministry the whole of 15 years. Just about as soon as I had given my heart to Jesus, I was in some ministry in some way. But as I grew in my walk with God and as I grew in ministry, sometimes God would use the pastor and I would take the place of someone, and sometimes the person's place that I would take, they would get offended. Instead of pouring into me, they would get offended. And they would say, "This is my position. What do you mean you're taking my place?" Listen, when God is trying to move us out the way, it's not a demotion, but it's a promotion. Can I pastor this morning? I've done a lot of preaching. I want to pastor just a moment. Listen, as a church, when we get ready to grow, we're going to grow. The devil is a lie. We're going to exceed our own expectations as a church. But how we're going to do that is we're going to do that by pouring into others. We're going to start to see the dreams, and we're going to start to see the quality and the giftedness inside of another person. And we're not going to judge the exterior of the person more than we're looking at the content of the heart. Do you hear me? It's time for us to disciple people and raise people up so that they can be effective inside of the house of God. Listen, we have spiritual people at our church. I have a great leadership team. And so I really, you know, we got that down pat. We know how to be led by the Spirit. We know how to hear from God. So I'm not worried about all of the little technicalities of who and what and why and when, how they're going to do what they're going to do and all of those things. We're going to be led by God. But one of the things that we need to come to a conclusion within ourselves, I need to train somebody and raise somebody up so that the same gift that is born inside of me can be born inside of them. The only people, listen, there are people right now, you can be the best pastor on the face of the planet, but if you don't raise up a successor, your legacy dies with you. That's why fathers want sons so that they can, their seed can live on. So us as a church, we don't want to just be, we don't want to be duplicators, but we want to be multipliers in God's kingdom. We don't want to just be hard workers, but we want to be people that are pouring into other people and teaching and training them so that they can be what God has called them to be. Listen, I understand that when you made the announcement that you wanted to serve God and you're doing effective ministry, that is awesome. We need more effective ministry, but we need people that is pouring into somebody else and helping them to make the announcement in their life so that they too can get involved in ministry. There are churches all around this state right now that are packed to the gills with people, with potential, but they're not allowed to use that potential because no one would give them room. We have a lot of micromanagers. The Holy Spirit, I'll go ahead and move from there. And before we say that, I want to say that one of the reasons why we can't grasp a lot of these concepts is because we're not being like John. What did John say? I'm going to go ahead and read it to you in John chapter 3, verse 27 through 36. And you can go back and read the rest of it in your own time, but I want to focus on verse 30. He said, he must become greater. I must become less. John understood that in order for the kingdom of God to really come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come. John came preaching repentance, but Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come in its fullness. Being Christ, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Jesus' inauguration, did not speak audibly when he made the announcement about Christ. How did he move? How did he speak? I just gave you an answer. He moved. How did he move? He came in the form of a dove. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, it's probably not going to come. He's not going to come in human form. But when the Holy Spirit of God is trying to get our attention and trying to get us to do something, he's going to move up on us. And we have to act once he moves up on us. Remember Jephthah in Judges chapter 11, what happened with him? Listen, when the Ammonite king did not want to do what Jephthah had required, the Bible says that the Spirit moved up on him. And we're going to see this here in just a little while as well. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit did not speak audibly with an announcement about Jesus. He simply moved. In verse 10, it says, coming up out of the water, he immediately saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. When God ignites the life of a believer, the Spirit of God will move in them, causing them to move as he wills. Did you hear that? We're getting ready to wrap up. When the Spirit of God is inside of your heart. Listen, I keep going to Jephthah because we need to understand that Jephthah was a rejected man by his own people. Brought back, became the leader that God had called him to be. and the people has seen the leadership inside of him. Jephthah denied himself. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord that he would sacrifice anything that came through the front door of his house once he came home from the battle. His daughter came through. Jephthah tore his clothes, and he said, daughter, you have really just grieved me, however he said it, and he committed to that sacrifice. But another thing Jephthah did, Jephthah committed to God's people. Jephthah put his own life on the line when time came for that to take place. The Bible says that when the Ammonite king did not adhere to what Jephthah had to say, and the Spirit moved upon him. When the Spirit of God moved upon Jephthah, this is what happened. Every plan, every thought that Jephthah had in his mind about how to defeat that king came to fruition in his mind. And he probably went to his men and he began to assemble things. This is how we're going to do it. This is what's going to happen. This is how this is going to come to place. Listen, when you're going through the toughest time in your life, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And when he begins to speak to you, when he begins to move in your heart, you need to act according to what he's saying in your heart. But it's going to take an act of faith, because it's the flesh and the spirit warring against each other. I want you to hear what I'm saying today. When the Spirit moves on you, you have to move with the Spirit. See, some of us need to move out of relationships that we're in. Some of us need to move out of places that we go. Some of us need to move out of conversations that we enter in. Some of us need to move away from the television set. Some of us need to move towards the Word of God and get committed to it. Everything Jesus did, his preaching, his teaching, his suffering, his victory over sin and Satan's power, he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though he was fully God, he laid aside all of his rights and privileges as God. And in the same way, we must do the same and totally submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit through obedience. Listen, Charles within himself loves to do bad things. Charles within himself loves to think bad thoughts, because there's the sarx. Sarx is the sinful nature of man, the flesh. And within myself, I find gratification in those things. Do you hear me? But God has called us, guys, to live a life above reproach. But the tricky part is that just as the Holy Spirit plays an intricate role, we play an intricate role. It comes to the point of denying ourselves. Moving that stuff, scraping that stuff out of, away from around the wick of our lives, so that the candle can burn the way that it should. Some of us got too much stuff in our lives. And that's why we can't be effective. And that's why we want to hide our candle under a bushel. We want to place it under a table when it's convenient. But God is calling, listen to what I'm saying, church. God is calling us out. God is calling every one of us in this house to the carpet. I wish I had a megaphone. I preach it to the city. God is calling every one of us out. And he's saying, I want you to be that city that sits on the hill that cannot be hid by, so that every man can see it, and it cannot be hidden from any person's eyesight. Listen, what does that mean? Not so you can sit up, so we can sit up there all pretty. A candle is lit so that it can give light. A lighthouse is there so that the ships or whoever, whatever, can see it in the middle of the storm. Can people see your light in the middle of a storm? When your friends at work are going through trouble, can they see the light of the Holy Spirit shining through you? Do you hear me, church? This is where God has us at today. A couple months ago, when God gave me the theme, Ignite, one of the things that came to my mind as I was pacing back and forth through these altars, and me and Brother Ken was praying, and I had a piece of paper, and I found a marker, and I began to jot some things down. This is what God said. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon the leadership of the church. and I'm going to ignite them so that they can lead my people. Then he said, because the Spirit of God is inside of them, the very Spirit that is inside of them is going to ignite the people. Now, I want you to understand something today. I want you to understand that I know if you're saved, you have the Spirit inside of you, because if you don't have the Spirit inside of you, that means you're none of His. But I'm talking about God is wanting to set us afire. And if the leadership is excited, it would cause our visitors to be excited. It would cause our congregation to be excited. And people won't find excuses to stay at home on Sunday morning, because the church house would be the most exciting place to go. Listen, and you want to know something that's really real this morning? Listen, the worship team is awesome, but the worship team outside of Jesus is pointless. We got a powerful worship team. They love Jesus. The words that I'm preaching, listen, they're just words if God is not leading. We want God to ignite us and set us on fire with His glory. This year, we're going to go out in various forms as a church. It is the Spirit that will direct and instruct us. And it is our job to walk in obedience to Him. At Jesus' inauguration, God the Father announced His pleasure in His Son. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Before the beginning, God ordained Jesus' destiny. And in the same way, God has a path, purpose, and a destiny for you in your life. I know that some of you are in this room this morning. You're biting your nails to know what that destiny is. You're looking at your life and wondering how, when, where can God use a life that is broken as yours? The question that we must ask ourselves, in spite of the brokenness, can we accept the fact that we are accepted by God? Did you hear that? In spite of your brokenness, in spite of my brokenness, I have accepted the fact that no matter if mama likes me, no matter if daddy likes me, no matter if you accept me, Christ accepts me, and I am His own. That's all that matters. Your focus shouldn't be on me, but your focus should be on Him. If He accepted you, who cares if the world accepts you? Listen, they didn't accept Him. And if I can't accept you, listen, I might not have the Spirit of God inside of me, or I'm walking in the flesh. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. We're all children of God. We stand in adherence to Him. We're little lights in the life of the great light. And the only reason we have light is because He shines through us. The only reason we have any kind of righteousness is because of Him, and it is His righteousness. We don't own it at all. But we're too busy focusing on our mistakes instead of focusing on Him. And our mistakes, we carry them around like burdens on our back, like heavy backpacks on our back, and we carry them through life. And the next thing you know, we can't even carry them anymore, and we're broken down in sin and not walking in deliverance. Somebody in this house needs to take that backpack off and let God be God in your life. From the beginning, God ordained Jesus' destiny, and He has ordained yours as well. All throughout Scripture, God chose to use broken people. We can get ready to wrap this service up now. We're going to get ready to close. I want you to hear me this morning. All throughout Scripture, God of the universe, King of glory, when He speak, the mountains shake, chose to use broken people to carry his most valuable possession. The Spirit of God, Paul says, dwells in earthen vessels. I don't know about you, but I've seen some earthen vessels. If you knock them over, they will break. But God chose to use you. God knew, and he knew beforehand, because he ordained the world and knitted it together, and he knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knew the day that you was going to be broken. He knew the day that you were going to make those mistakes. He knew the day that you were going to turn your back on him and go every direction. He knew that, but he still chose you to be his own. Where was Gideon? Broken. Hiding in the wine press from the Midians. And when the angel came in, the Bible says that the angel says, did the angel say, get away, get up, you weakling? Did the angel say, you broken piece of mess? Mighty man of valor. I'm a Gideon sometimes. Gideon's like, huh? Who is he talking to? Is there somebody else in here? No, he was talking to Gideon. And see, sometimes the enemy of our souls, you know what he tries to do? He tries to whisper in your ear and tell you you're nothing but a piece of broken mess. He tries to tell you that you're worthless. He tries to tell you that God can't fix you, that everybody always has seen you as broken. You always will be broken. And you know what? All throughout my teenage years, I walked around as a broken piece of mess. I felt inferior. I felt like I couldn't achieve anything. But the moment that I found myself in Brownsville, Florida, at the Brownsville Assembly of God, and that night, that pastor said, do you want to accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It was at that moment, church, that I lift my hands in the air and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And the moment I did that, he put his hand on my life and began to anoint me by his Spirit. And that day, my brokenness began to come together. Listen, God wants you just like you are. But he's not going to leave us the way we came. His Spirit is at work in our lives. His Spirit is here to convict men of righteousness and of sin and of the judgment to come. Spirit is moving this morning in the hearts of his people. My question to you this morning, what are you allowing to hinder you from accepting the call of God on your life? From accepting him and allowing him to be your everything. For some of us this morning, it's us. We're hindering ourselves. We're holding ourselves back. For some of us, it may be some type of drug. It might be alcohol. It might be some form of something, some sinful thing that you're doing that is hindering you from being all that God has called you to be. Whatever it is, and I'm not saying that if a person take a drink, they're in sin. But what I am saying is, whatever we're doing, if it's up here, and if you can't control it, becomes your God. Regardless of how we want to admit it or not, it becomes our idol and it controls you. For some of us, it's anger. For some of us, it's jealousy, it's lust, it's strife. I can go on and on and on. And what happens is when we allow those things to remain in our lives, we operate like broken people. Instead of spirit-filled people. If you're staying this morning, in order for there to be a move of God through the Holy Spirit in every one of our lives, just like a car, we have to put the key in the ignition and turn the switch. With every head bowed in here today, if you're here today and if you're like that car and you want to start the car, you have to put the key in the ignition switch and turn it, and the car starts. The same way this morning, if we want to be ignited by God, by His Spirit, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts. And we have to repent and turn and go in the right direction. And God will again ignite our hearts. If you're here this morning, and if you say, Pastor, I haven't been shining like I should, but I heard the word, I felt the love of God, and I want God to ignite my life.
Living Hope Assembly of God.